This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Yo, I think Mike White's going to shine. I'm so excited for this game. I can't wait. 11:03 on the Fan Tiki and Tierney Show. Let me read something to you, all right? This is from a former Jet. I like Zach Wilson, but I can see comments about how he carries himself, a sense of arrogance, so-and-so said. I can see how it could rub people the wrong way. When he's good, he's good. And when he's bad, he's bad. When you're not the most likable guy, of course when things are bad, everybody's going to have a problem with you. Quote continues. I could definitely tell you the locker room, they're behind Mike White. He's one of those guys that's very likable. I know everybody's going to try to go out and buy in and let him succeed because of the type of guy he is. I know he has good respect over there. Guys are going to help Mike White make it happen. They kind of know the situation. There ain't no telling how they really feel about Zach. A guy steps in that's been there. I'm sure they're all going to play hard for him. End quote. Now, that's from former Jets quarterback on the Bears now, Lamar Jackson. That's interesting. That is interesting. I mean, Lamar Jackson was in that locker room, so I'm certainly going to give him the, that's his runway. I don't know. This is all from a distance. I never thought that Zach came across as unlikable like other young quarterbacks have in the past, like, or say, a Ryan Leaf, a Johnny Manziel. Like, I think up until now, performance, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what he admits personality-wise. Up until the last week or so, I really thought that those guys liked Zach, that they were like, they were down with Zach, they were behind Zach, they felt Zach. They wanted to roll with Zach. Not saying they didn't like Mike White. We all know the whole, Mike walks in, Mike bleeping White. So there's obviously some energy there. But I thought Zach was absolutely one of the boys, I thought he was. He might not be. And that's okay if you're out there. Like, if you want to be a little detached, I know it's gone sideways this year. If you want to be a little bit of a loner, a little bit of a lone wolf like Aaron Rodgers, even though that's not me. Like, I don't really understand that person. I don't know how you could play a team sport and not be one of the guys or not try to be. That drives me nuts, man. But if you're going to be that person, you better put up 40 touchdowns a season. And then we'll look the other way. If you have more picks than touchdowns and have, basically no film, no significant film that would embolden anybody derived in anything other than pure hope to say, oh, this is the guy, then you better change your act. And that act's got to start changing Sunday. Well, what do you mean? He's not playing. It doesn't matter. Let me tell you what Zach's got to do. And I said this the other day when we found out, me and T carried the press conference live when Coach Salvo said it's going to be Mike White. I'm fine with that. He was so bad, and his post-game press conference against the Pats was childish and petulant and arrogant and all those, and I don't think he's a bad kid. I don't think he's a bad guy at all. But he just didn't read the room, man. You have to take ownership of your mistakes. You must, especially as the quarterback. Like, you want to kind of dance to your own tune. You're the defensive end, or you're a corner, or you're a diva wide receiver, but you hold in 5, 6, 7 passes a week, do whatever you want. I mean, as long as you show up, you know, don't get pinched for drugs or DUIs or even worse, like domestic. Like, just if you're balling, it doesn't matter what you do if you play that position. If you're the quarterback, you don't have that luxury. So I'm kind of happy that Zach is benched, actually. Actually, I'm really happy for two reasons. Number one, it gives the kid a chance to wake up. Number two, it tells me organizationally the Jets are breaking away from the same old Jets mold. The same old Jets would have tried to shove this kid down our throat. Number two pick, number two pick, number two pick, number two pick. You know what? You look awful, and you ain't playing. I mean, I like that. I really do. But the change needs to start Sunday for Zach Wilson, and I'll tell you how. Mike White throws a 35-yard touchdown to whomever. You better lead the celebration. Don't think for a second your teammates aren't watching. Now, they might. I don't think they're immersed in that during the game. But if there is one Twitter video that emerges where you have like a sullen, almost selfish Zach Wilson that's floating around out there after the Jets do something good, I don't think it's hyperbolic to say it might be over for the kid. Because at that point, it will tell me he hasn't learned a damn thing. Not a damn thing. Listen, I don't know where this is going. I mean, I really don't. Mike White can come out and ball. Mike White could come out and be awful. I think it's probably more in between. But you don't know till you see it. I think that Zach could get his job back this year and play well. I think Zach could get his job back this year and play awful. And then that sets up an offseason where, all right, there's no way Zach's entering OTAs as the starter. And then, you know, downstream, depending upon how Mike White plays and how poorly Zach plays, if he gets his job back, or if Mike gets hurt and he goes in there, whatever, there's a lot of decisions this franchise needs to make. But the decisions will be made easier by how Wilson reacts to this. He's gotta process this the right way. He's got to. And I think he will. I do. I think at his core, he's a really good person. You know, but that's a pretty damning quote. Now, think about it. It's all prefaced with, I like Zach Wilson. So keep that in mind. The guy who's levying, now a former Jet, current Bear, who the Jets are playing Sunday, as he levies this criticism and paints this picture of Zach, he himself says, I like Zach Wilson. But then he goes on to say, you know, I can see how there's, you know, a sense of arrogance. And, you know, I read the quote. I'm not going to read it again. You know, it wasn't a takedown. It wasn't a hit job. But some of those comments were not the encapsulation that you want of your number two overall pick. You know, 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan. Tiki is off. He is going down to do the game, the Iron Bowl, which has no juice this year, but I know he loves doing it. Awesome. Good for Teague. He's back Monday. We'll be together. You know, I mean, the other thing I get a lot of, and I don't understand. Like, to me, this is not a problem I would mind encountering. I understand why some of you ask it, but to me, this is not a problem. This is an answer. I'd say what it is. Oh, you know, on Twitter, BT, what are we going to do if Mike White plays well? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit back and enjoy it. And obviously the implication behind that question is, and, you know, the tone, like, well, I mean, geez, well, if he plays well, what do you do with Zach? Nothing. I don't do anything with Zach. He watches. I'm not worried. I do nothing. I don't care where the next franchise savior, or the first in my lifetime, where the first franchise savior comes from. I don't care. Yes. It would be cool if it was in a conventional sense. Number two pick, looks like the golden boy, seemingly has it all. Yeah, it would be great. It would have been awesome if it was just this linear trajectory. Get drafted, stay healthy and flash in year one. You got a lot more around you in year two. Throw 28 touchdowns, go to the playoffs, boom. That would be nice. We're not destined for that. Our road is a little different, as many of you know. So if it's a guy who was, whatever, what was Mike White? Fourth round, fifth round, drafted by, or I think it was Dallas years ago, 2018. I don't care. I just want the right quarterback. I'm open-minded at this point. Yeah, I've been, how would I frame this? I would say I've been a little bit more pro-Zach than many of you. But I was also more pro Sam Darnold than many of you. I was also more pro Geno than many of you. You know, one thing, and I don't hide from this. I don't run from this. It's just who I am. You know, it's funny. Like when I react negatively, oh, it's harsh. I'm going to come correct. I am going to let it go. Right? Like with the Cashman stuff, whatever. But I'm also, the way I'm predisposed, I'm wired to go more optimistically to start. Like, I get it. A lot of Jet fans draft night, oh, what are we doing drafting this kid? Whether it's Zach or anybody else. No. When I'm handed a quarterback on draft night, whether it's round one or round two with Geno, I say, this is going to be the guy. You know? Because I don't like waking up every morning thinking like a loser. That's not fun. Like, oh, God, we just drafted this guy. Stinks. He can't do this. He can't do this. What I try to do is I try to illuminate what he can do, what he has done, some of the positive things. So, yeah, with Zach, it was he projects this energy that I thought would really resonate with everybody on the team. I thought he'd be a great teammate, you know? I did. Off-platform throws, athletic, big-time arm, you know? And then you see the games, and we really don't get much of that. Instead, what we've gotten has been a combination of bad mechanics, highly inefficient play, the occasional whoa in a good way, and a lot of, geez, where are we going with this guy? So, I've shifted my mindset. That's it. Like, I'm not burying the kid, but if Zach doesn't play quarterback again for the Jets, that's fine. Like, okay. Because that means that Mike White or somebody else stepped up and did better. That's it. 877-337-6666. So, it's a must-win game. Oh, yeah, by the way, to bury the lead. If the Jets don't win, well, then it's over. You can't win. Jets are going to win this game. Although every time I seem to say that, right, Dove? I'm not worried about it. I'm actually, listen, if the Jets can't beat the Bears without Justin Fields or versus a highly compromised Justin Fields, then they're going nowhere anyway. You got a gift. The Viking Patriots easily could have won that game. Vikings gave us a little help. Win the game. And I think that they will. So we'll get these Jets and Giants calls coming up in a little bit. Sharp tearing you later on. I'm here till 2, full show on this Football Friday. All right. All right, 11:21 here on the Fan. It's Teague and Tierney. So to get back to these calls, obviously now the Jets conversation is in the pot. We stir it around. I got to make my turkey soup today, by the way, when I get home. So Brian Daboll's reaction on the Hodgins touchdown pulled back when the old lineman was upfield. I love Daboll. I love him. And, I mean, in terms of actual coaching explosions in the year 2022, that's pretty high up there. I mean, that is a full throat, veins bulging, you know, face red, F-bombs flying. I love it. I love it. My only question is, and others have asked this. I'm not worried about it at all, but you wonder how sustainable that is as a head coach in the NFL. And I don't want him to dial it down. I think it's great. I think he's exactly what the Giants needed. You know, and really, it starts with Tennessee, week one. You know, lighten up Danny Jones on that bad throw to Saquon in the end zone by the pylon, going for the two-point conversion, squeaking out an improbable, I think it was 22-21, I think, improbable win and setting the tone for expectation and competitiveness. I love it. I love it. I love it. And think about this. If he's that way in front of the cameras, imagine how he is when there's no cameras rolling to practice outside of internal cameras. So they can, you know, take what they just did and then obviously use it to execute better. I love it. But there are some people out there, and I don't think it's Giant fans. There are some people, and it's not even close to being the majority. There are some people who wonder, is there a shelf life on that type of relatively consistent week-to-week demeanor? My answer is yeah. I love it. And I think it works here. I think it always works here, provided you win. But from the players, that I can't answer. I don't know. You know, the modern athlete's wired very differently. And I do think, you know, when Daboll comes in for a team that has been so downtrodden and so mentally beaten down over the years, I think that kind of energy is largely received probably by everybody except Kenny Galladay in a very almost like, man, you know, you like, I don't, almost a very necessary, but the players embrace it because they almost feel important for the first time in a little bit. Like when you're losing and there's no real connection player coach, I mean, you want to talk about a listless work environment, and that's brutal. So these players were kind of empowered and kind of set on alert right away. But eventually the roster turns over, and eventually, you know, and it's Joe Shane's job to do this, get better players, and eventually they'll have stars here, you know? How will the stars react to that? I think they'll be okay with it, but you never know. You never know. 877-337-6666. So let's get to the calls here. Brian, Millburn, New Jersey on the Fan. What's up, Brian?
Hey, how y'all doing? I'm a big fan of y'all. So I was just seeing how I'm working. I have to say about the Zach Wilson, I know you're not on that topic, but you all, Brian Daboll, I love him too.
No, that's good. I'm doing both. It's all
okay.
Good.
My thing is, I don't understand anybody's take that's saying, oh, it's a bad thing to bench him and not give him his job back. Listen, you got other people in that locker room that been doing this since they were kids. They gave up their whole life for this. You cannot have that guy out there playing like that, then tell everybody to screw themselves. Come on, man. What kind of world you live in? Attitude is more important than facts. Attitude always has been more important than facts. When your attitude sucks, then nobody going to put up with it. They always throw these other quarterbacks. Oh, they let this quarterback get away when he played bad. Then he played bad, but he's just good. They didn't have the bad attitude that Zach Wilson has. He's not acting like he's not part of the problem when you really are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think he learned his lesson, Brian, but until we see a little bit of a different demeanor, we won't know. I think what's most interesting to me, thanks for the call, and I'm with you, by the way. I'm with you. You got to comport yourself a certain way. You know, again, the diva wide receiver, it's a little different. Defensive end with 15 sacks, do whatever you want. The corner, you know, with 5 or 6 picks and a couple brought back to the house, all right, you can kind of dance to your own beat. That's just the way it is, you know. But if you're the quarterback, you know, you've got to be that consistent heartbeat every single day. The guys got to know when they look you in the eye that they can trust you and you're going to follow them to where they need to go, you know? So that's got to change. I think what's going to be really interesting, and I don't know how I do think this is a tough juggle. While I'm fine, matter of fact, I support it fully, Zach being benched. I don't know where the time's going to come for them to really fix what he needs to fix. Like, how does Zach Wilson get better outside of changing his demeanor and the thumb coming to the chest a little bit, you know? I don't know. That's a very, very fair question. Like, is that going to happen in practice when he's suddenly getting fewer reps? I don't know. I mean, if you're LaFleur, Mike White's your guy now. Mike White is your project. Mike White is your focus. I'm not sure about that. I'm sure Zach is going to stay at the facility longer, get a couple of guys off the practice squad. I don't know, maybe Denzel Mims. Now that Corey Davis is back, and Denzel Mims will be active. Robert Saleh did say that. But maybe Mims continues to want to fortify his spot on the roster and show that he's all in. Maybe he sticks around after, works with him. I know he and Berrios are boys. Maybe Berrios does it. But, you know, the time to get better is now going to happen away from the spotlight of the entire team. And that's a little tricky. Because the focus must be on Mike White at this point. Let's get Joe down in Florida. Joe's got us up on the free Odyssey app. What's up, Joe? Joe, you there, Joe? No, I guess Joe's not there. Oh, Joe, go ahead, bud. All right, Joe. I mean, come on, dude. How about let's go to Jimmy in Lincoln Park. What's happening, Jim? How are you?
Good, Brandon. How are you?
Good, Jim. What's happening?
I'll tell you what. You know, first of all, I just want to say this as a preface. I love when Dable goes nuts on the sideline because it's the first time I've seen a Giant coach do on the field exactly what I'm doing in my house. Okay? Like, I'm going crazy and he's going crazy. I'm like, all right, you know what? I feel a little better rather than seeing Joe Judge walking back and forth on the sidelines. Anyway, that was then.
For sure.
Here's the deal. I do not think, I said it before, I was in a room full of people. I said, why are we going for it here? Why are we going for it in the third quarter? I think we were only down 3 points at the time. It was a one-score game.
You didn't want him to go for that?
I did not want him to go for that.
Why?
No. Why? Because of exactly what happened. We didn't get it. They had 44 yards to go, and at that point, they went up 10 points.
Yep.
Forget about it. The game was over. And I'm like, listen, our defense was on the field a long time in the first half. They got halftime rest, okay? The offense had a little bit of a drive. They got to sit down. Let's pin them down.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Down deep. If they're going to score, let them score 75, 80 yards instead of 44 yards. I mean, come on. You put our defense in a bad spot.
Well, let me say this here, Jim. Hey, listen, I disagree. We process it differently. Okay. I'm sitting there, and I respect, you know, I don't have your opinion, but I'm sitting there in real time saying, go for it. You're not going to win this game 17-14. If you're going to win the game, it's going to be 30-27. You got to score touchdowns. So now, while they didn't get it, you're right, and it hurt them, obviously. To me, I don't look at the result. Because for me, as much as I do, Dable and the staff putting his offense in the right position to get it. He had the right play. It was a bad throw, and you got to make that catch anyway. So Dable was on point.
Yeah.
Big picture, from a Giants point of view, that's almost more important than actually making the play.
But my big picture now is he put us in a bad spot. We ended up losing a game, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this would have looked a lot better. This loss would have looked a lot better had we beat the Lions last week, okay?
Yeah.
But now we lost to the Lions. We lost to the Cowboys. We have the Commanders coming up. And now I'm not sure. I don't know. I coached as a high school football assistant for almost 40 years.
Nice.
And I can almost judge how certain teams. You know what? At this point now, you lose two in a row after you come off to a hot start. It's like the Yankees. This is almost a mirror of the Yankee season, I hate to say.
I think the only, you know, wow.
Well, think about it.
Well, listen, hopefully for the Giants, it ends in a playoff
appearance,
at least.
Yeah.
I don't think that it does. Well, Jim, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What's more reflective of the roster, the 6-1 start or the 1-3 performance the last month?
The 1-3 performance.
You know, you coached the game.
Yeah.
So how do we crush these guys when they really were never as good as we thought? And
I'm not crushing them, though. I'm crushing the decision.
No, I got you.
Put your team in a better position. Let your defense, which is obviously the strong point of this team. I think we all agree on that. Okay? The defense is the strong part. Of course, minus McKinley, the injuries, and Adoree.
Yeah, the injuries, they maybe on paper they were. And thanks for the call, Jim. Good stuff. 40 years as a coach. That's awesome. But I'm surprised. Like, if I was playing for Jim in Lincoln Park and it's 4th-and-1 and he's like, nah, we're punting, boys, I'd be like, come on, coach. We got to go for it. You know? Listen, at the end of the day, Brian Dable put his team and his two best offensive players, his quarterback and his running back, in a position to make a play, to move the sticks, to keep Dallas's offense off the field. It was an incredibly well-executed play. Quarterback missed the throw by a half a foot, and the running back dropped it. That's not Dable's fault. That was, and so I understand. At the end of the day, we react to the result, but sometimes that's not the way to look at it. Like, the result is what's going to really get either the ire or the euphoria. But if you put yourself in the right position and guys don't do their job, whose fault is that? And there's no guarantee that the punt doesn't go in the end zone and they take it at the 12. Like, you don't know. But I love that they went for it myself. Jimmy's in Dix Hills. What's going on, Jimmy?
Hey, great show. 40 years as a Giant fan, never coached anything. But let me tell you why
gotcha.
you were right, and I agree with you. He told you, Dable told you, we don't have the talent to run with the Cowboys. We're not that good. He knows that.
Yep.
In the future, we will be that good. We got a good team in Dable and Shane, and we're headed in the right direction. But he told you by going for it, he said, our defense is not that good. It's not punted. They're going to probably drive down again. So we have to go for it because our talent is not there. So we need to take advantage of this and keep our defense off the field. If we had a very good defense without injuries, he would have punted the ball. But he knew. He knows. He has experience. He's telling you, trust me, Giant fans, and we do. We're going to be good in the we're going to be good down the line. We're going to be good down the line when we draft our own players. And I just want to make one point about Wilson, if I can.
Of course.
I agree with you about Wilson. You said about Wilson, let's see what he does on the sideline. So far, this guy has shown us nothing. He's shown us nothing. He is an arrogant young man, and he's got to learn the hard way. When White throws a touchdown, he will say nothing, or he'll do the wrong thing. I cannot picture, and I root for the Jets, too. I'm a New Yorker.
I got you.
I cannot picture this guy cheering for anybody but the guy in the mirror. And that's why he cannot be the future of the Jets. And I think the Jets will eventually draft not a quarterback. They're going to trade for a quarterback because they've tried this so many times already, and it hasn't worked out.
They might.
It hasn't worked out,
Jimmy, they might. They might. They really might. The only thing that I'll say is, and I don't go so far as with the arrogance. Like, I think it's a little entitlement, a little lack of awareness, a little bit of a sheltered existence growing up. I mean, when you're the quarterback at BYU, yes, out there it's huge. I get it. I've been to Provo. You know, I did some work in Utah. It's all about BYU and the Jazz. And, you know, I guess the Utah Utes as well. But from a football, there's no value. The quarterback at BYU, the lineage is there. But it ain't this. It's not this. And he's going to be held accountable with a different voice. Like, we're just not going to tolerate certain things. And when you play that poorly and you don't own it, we can't have it. But I'm going to give the young man a chance to mature. I think it's only fair. You know, and I would say this if... Now, Daniel Jones is wired totally different, and nobody knows if Jones ultimately is the right guy for the Giants. I think he could be, but we'll see. But if Jones was in year two, you know, and he did that, I'd say the same thing. You got to give him a little space to mature. And I know that it's not an apples-to-apples thing because we grew up in relative anonymity, all of us. We weren't these incredible athletes and specimens and making millions at that age, but, I mean... How much did you mature from the age of, say, 22, 23 to 26, 27? I know I did, you know? So I don't put boundaries on the maturation process. Everybody's different, and I'm hopeful the kid gets it. And if he doesn't, then it's over. Then it's over. Because this has been, when you're on the back page of the Post and it says, watch your back, Zach, and you get benched, you're not even active this week. So if White gets hurt, it's Flacco. It ain't Zach. I mean, that is, you want to talk about being humbled. You're going to be with an earpiece and a Jets sweatshirt on. And it's going to be raining, so you're going to be sopping wet. But the expectation is, you better show that you care. And you better show that you learned. And you better show that you know that you have to be different. And you're going to be. And I think you will. I do. All right, Dinky and Tierney back here on The Fan. What's going on, everybody? How you doing? All right, picking up the pieces to the G-Men. This is a rough one. 877-337-6666. Hopefully you guys had an awesome holiday and enjoying some downtime today. Cruising around, getting ready to burn a hole in that credit card. just have a good time. Holiday season. Daddy's got to go out and get some more lights there, Dove. So I'll tell you, you want to talk about a racket? And the only reason I didn't do it, I used to put lights on my house when I was growing up, right? But my house where I live now is a little different than where I lived growing up. Just the shape of it, whatever. So it's hard. I can't get on the roof where I live now, basically, is the bottom line. So, you know, I hire somebody to put the lights on. Great guy. Big sports fan. And I made the decision, you know what? I need more lights. So right after the show, I'm going out. I'm getting a bunch of red ones, a bunch of white ones. I'm wrapping them around. I need more. I need more lights. So maybe you guys are doing that today. Whatever you're doing. Just appreciate you guys chilling with me here. Teek is off. We're back together on Monday. And obviously the Jets, as much as the Giants, both on the table. Let's get to Ari in West Orange. What's going on, Ari? How you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for taking the call, and nice to talk to you again. How's everything going?
No,
hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
What's up?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously, a big Giant fan. I've called several times, of course. And, look, my take on what's going on now is that, and you kind of said it, basically, is that, you know, great coaching can only take you so far. In the end, it all comes down to talent. And this is also the time of the year, you're looking around the NFL, where talent is going to win you games, not good coaching, not, you know, and all the other X factors that won the Giants games early in the season. And, you know, you look around the league, and it's past Sunday, and I think what's coming up this weekend, yeah, you can have teams covering the spread, and that's going to happen. But by and large, the teams with the better talent at this point in the year are going to win these games. And case in point, yesterday, of course, you know, all the favorites won, and, yeah, they were close games. But, again, talent, like I said, always wins out. And with the Giants and the Cowboys, there was a clear discrepancy in the talent levels. Even if the Giants are healthy, and granted, the injuries don't help at all, of course, the Giants are clearly not on the same level as the Cowboys. So I think that's what's going on. And, and it's, you know, it has been a great year. And I agree with you. I don't see a playoff berth for this team. I see maybe they can get two wins. Maybe they get one of the Washington wins and they can beat the Colts at home. But other than that, again, because like my point, again, I keep making is that it does come down to the talent. And real quick, Brandon, and I've talked about this many times. And look, I give Daniel Jones a lot of credit for what he's done this year, and I give the coaching a ton of credit to getting the most out of him. As far as I'm concerned, though, it's been 4 years, and I don't want to keep making excuses. I don't want to keep saying offensive line. I don't want to keep saying lack of wide receivers. I don't want to say this. I don't say that. When Daniel Jones has to throw the ball 30 times a game like he has in the last 2 weeks, it's very simple. You're not going to win those games. And I just worry moving forward what he can really do for this franchise. I have serious doubts that if he's a quarterback moving forward, he can really take this team to a long playoff run or, you know, potentially win a Super Bowl. And that's what it's all about. And, look, these are tough decisions the management has to make in the offseason. And, you know, for now, let's just enjoy the ride. But as far as, like I said, I you know, in 4 years watching him play quarterback, I have seen nothing, absolutely nothing to convince me that he can be the guy that will win a Super Bowl for this team. And that's, I think, what it has to come down to in decision-making in the offseason.
That's always the barometer. I disagree slightly. I like Jones. I do. Mm-hmm. I like Daniel Jones. Let me ask you this, Ari. Now, sure. It's one of these theoreticals, and there's no right or wrong answer. But I'm curious, because I know where you stand on Jones now, but I'm curious how you answer this. If Dak Prescott was the Giants quarterback this year.
Right.
Where are the Giants?
That's a fair question. You know, the record is probably similar. Mm-hmm. But I just look at the games where they're playing the teams that are, again, like I said, either on the same level or have more talent. And in those games, the Giants have basically, you know, lost or even not shown up. You know, the Lions are a team that's a great example. Their talent level is not that much better than Giants, and they just blew them out of the water.
Yeah.
And that's,
but
I think, like
be,
I said.
But Ari, to be fair, I mean, that's the only bad game the Giants had up until that point. Well, Seattle wasn't great either, but tough
right,
venue.
And you're right.
And
it's true. I also, though, look at a team like the Titans as a little cautionary tale, because I see Ryan Tannehill there, and we all agree he's an above-average quarterback, but he's not exactly on that elite level. They have no playoff wins with him, and that's really what I worry about moving forward. And I don't know where the Titans season is going. Maybe they make a deep run this year finally, but just look at what's happened with them, and that's, I think, a little cautionary tale moving forward, you know, with a quarterback like Jones. Again, that's just my question.
I get it.
That's what it's all about.
I understand, and I love that you. Thanks for the call, there, man. Have a great holiday weekend. I understand that's the barometer. Now, crazy. It's like when you talk to Jet fans about the quarterback. Yeah, like in the back of our minds, it's like, all right, we need a guy who's going to win us a Super Bowl. But we're really just looking more like stabilization of the position. Giant fans are like, all right, who's going to win me a Super Bowl? I get that because you guys have won some, so it's a different measurement. The good thing is that the evaluation of Daniel Jones this offseason, I mean, even though it's ongoing, like, there's always evaluation. I don't mean that it's just, oh, okay, now the season's over, we can finally start to evaluate what we have. They evaluate every snap, all right? But the ultimate decision will be made without bias because they didn't draft him. you know? So it's not like they're sitting around, and this happens, you know, this is common sense. It's not like you're sitting around saying, like, you say if Joe Shane was here, so say if Shane drafted him 4 years ago, right? He would be sitting here just based on human nature, self-preservation, saying, all right, listen, you know, hey, we got to get a little bit more around him, but, you know, Danny's, he's shown this, and he's fast, and he's got a good arm, and he's tough, even though he's gotten banged up a few times. He is tough, and he's got a good IQ. Like, you tend to gravitate toward the positives. When you are objectively analyzing what's in front of you, that will ultimately determine how you are perceived and graded out down the road, like Shane and Daboll will be. Again, bias is left at the door. There's no sentimentality. We didn't draft them. It's pure business. And I got to tell you, I trust them to make the right decision. I do. He ain't getting crazy money. So that's not even on the table. If they decide they can win with him and they can find a number that is palatable for both the organization and the quarterback, then I would be okay with that. And I would trust that they're doing the right thing. If they move on from Daniel Jones, I would also say, all right. I mean, they're looking at this tape a little differently than I am. They know what they need. They were just up in Buffalo. Pretty good team. I could live with that as well. I really could. 877-337-6666. Alex is in Aberdeen. What's up, Alex? How are you?
Hey, BT, big fan. Bishop Ford alumni, so I know you're a Brooklyn guy.
Oh, nice, man. What year did you get out? Alex, what year from the Falcons? Bishop Ford Falcons.
From the Falcons, third base, Pete Nice, 91.
Oh, wait, so you got, that's right, Pete Nice. So you got out in 91. So you play with my boy Chad.
Oh, Chad Frontera. Yeah. Man.
I grew up with Chad. He was awesome.
Yeah, Chad's a good guy.
Great guy, awesome player. I still talk to him a lot. Good, man. What's going on?
Yeah. So two things. First thing, season ticket holder for the Jets, and I think getting White started this week is good for two reasons. Number one, he's not going to look over his shoulder. It's Mike White, whether he's good, bad, or whatever, unless he gets injured, God forbid. The team knows who the starting quarterback is. I think it energizes them. And the atmosphere in the stadium this year, I have to tell you, was electric. Every game except for
the Ravens game.
I'm going to say the Patriot game, where there's a lot of Patriot fans.
Yep.
Everybody was electric.
Yeah,
I think they're
good.
Going this week now, not for the Mike White chant, because he's already there. My second thing I want to ask you, if Zach would have came out Sunday afternoon and said, it's all on me, I was terrible today, I feel bad for the defense, they played the hot shot, is this on Monday Night Countdown? Is this on national that they're following everything this kid said?
No. Nope.
I know the kid has a lot to growing up. I hope he's the guy. You and I actually met at the 2010 pregame, before the Patriot playoff game at MetLife. And we were talking about Sanchez and Rex. And you go 12 years and look where we've been.
I know.
Four quarterbacks, three coaches.
what a glorious ride, Alex. Lucky us. Cheers to us, buddy. Hey, man, listen, good catching up. And I know a few other guys that you played with, so good stuff. You guys had a good team. Wait a second. We played you. Hold on a second. I actually played you. So Halaba pitched.
Well, I wasn't on the team. I graduated with them. So I graduated with Chad and Gary. I don't want to throw names, but Gary. Trying to think who else.
Soto.
Soto
was on the team, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No,
I think
he
was a year.
Yeah. But when we played Bishop Ford, thanks for the call, man. Hope to bump into you again soon. When we played Bishop Ford, it was 2 out of 3 for the CHSAA championship. For the B division, and we faced you guys, and you throw Halama at us. I'm like, come on. And then I had a face in college. I'm like, oh God, left this guy. I had no chance against this guy. And you beat us, I think 2-1, and then Chad pitched the other game. I think we scored one run. You guys had some pretty sick pitching. That's a good team. I do think this real quick though. I think that when I look at the way Zach was benched and what Alex brought up, like the national fervor, like the way it was attacked with Zach. Come on, you guys know what gets clicks these days. Anything, any sort of scandal, salacious, you know, sexually oriented scandal in terms of drugs or you know, a quarterback kind of going a little sideways. It all come out. It all fits the template of, hey, just look at us. So, of course, it was going to be discussed. If Zach owned it, I think he's starting Sunday. I really do. I said that from minute one. Now, I almost liked, and I would have been okay with this, as long as Saleh, and he did, as long as Saleh said, listen, this would be before the announcement on Wednesday. Yeah, thank you, Dove. On Wednesday that Mike White would start. So when he said earlier in the week, everything's on the table, I'm going to evaluate it, I would have been okay with him coming to the podium on Wednesday saying, we're going to go with Zach, but he's got a short leash. He's got to get better. Like, I would have been okay with that. You know, softer landing, Bears defense stinks, a chance for him to regenerate. But the fact that he didn't do that tells me that he knows that locker room wasn't having it. And they might eventually re-embrace Zach, but they thought that the young man needed to be checked. And I think those are good coaching instincts because you got to coach 53, not just one. I'm fine with it.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.